guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Morena, Justine.
Morena, Rachel. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Hey, we have got some questions from the listeners that have been coming in, so I'm going to dive straight into it. Our first one is a bit of a tricky situation. Someone said, a colleague of mine at work made a mistake where they missed something and it resulted in a potentially dangerous situation. This was a complete accident, but management have decided that instead of giving her the training she might need to make sure this doesn't happen again, they're no longer allowing her to do that part of the job and have moved her into another team that doesn't actually need extra staff. Is this allowed? We don't have an HR department or a union.
This question's ringing alarm bells for me, for a lot of reasons. The idea that if someone makes a mistake, and intention does matter, but also health and safety is important. Mm. If someone makes a mistake, that training and support is not given to make sure it doesn't happen again, is really, really concerning to me. The idea that someone would then be moved to another part of the job, which would actually break their contract, because I would assume they would have been, you know, hired to do that specific job and have been doing it for a long period of time. So to move them without their consent or agreement is potentially breaking their contract. And then the other part of that, of course, is that there's no HR department, and I'm wondering who's making these decisions and how they're making sure that, you know, it's legal and fair. So that's three sort of alarm bells to me about the situation. In any kind of there's any sort of mistake made, there should be training and support given to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
Especially if there's serious health and safety implications. You know, this person made a mistake. Who's to say someone else wouldn't make the same mistake? And then the other thing about just moving them without even, you know, without agreement to avoid it is just that's not a solution.
Mm.
And potentially disadvantages your colleague because. Yeah, you know, like how is this going to impact their career in the long term? So, very concerning to me. I would definitely raise this collectively. In terms of you not having an HR department, I mean, obviously we can't change that. But having a union, all that means is you would join a union that would represent the work that you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it doesn't need to even be a majority of you. It can be, you know, a large, like if it's, you know, say you've got a 10 person workplace, if four of you join the union, you know, you're entitled to representation and help and advocacy from the union. So to people who say they're not in a unionized workplace, you can have a union. You can, you know, you can do that. It's just a matter of joining. The only issue is with unions is that they often can't represent historic issues. So I'm not sure they can help in this instance, but just for future reference, anyone can join a union and they would be entitled to advocacy and advice around things like this. So just a good thing to have, I think.
That segues quite nicely into another question we've got, which is a one that pops up every now and then. if my company doesn't currently have a union, how do I go about organising or joining one?
Yep, that's a great question. I love it when it comes up because I love to repeat myself on this. Most private companies in New Zealand don't have unions. I think about 7% of the private sector is unionized. It's very different than the public sector, which has much higher rates of unionization.
Yep.
To unionize, all you need to do is join a union and encourage your workmates to join a union. And once you have enough people, and I'm not sure how much that's going to be, I mean, in the union I work for, it's about 30% of the workforce. You can potentially have a collective agreement. So that means you get together, the union helps you, and we get a collective contract where we negotiate your terms and conditions, listening to what you want. And that's really what you want in a workplace. A collective agreement is just transparent. It means everybody knows what, you know, fair pay, and you're negotiating for higher pay as well every time your contract comes up. And also there's clear sort of ways to move up the pay scale as well. So collective agreement is what you want. But anyways, to shortly answer your question, you join a union, whatever union, you can go on the CTU website and check out which union would cover your workplace. There's very few jobs that wouldn't be covered by unions. I mean, actually, I can't think of really any. I could squeeze you into any union. I could make it happen. and you encourage your workmates to join, and once you have sort of a critical mass, you know, that could be 30%, You know, I would, if I joined a union, I would call up the union and say, hey, I want to unionize my workplace. Do you have any tips?
Yeah.
And then, you know, that support is available to you. And at an individual level, you have access to advocates and help if something goes wrong.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a good one, and it's a good question. So never feel like you can't ask a question you think has come in before, because there's always a reason to reiterate that stuff. We've had a text from someone who said, I was offered a role, and once I tried to negotiate my pay, they retracted the offer. Is that even legal?
This is a sign of a very, very bad employer. So the answer is a bit of a grey area. If you verbally accepted a role and you've kind of agreed on the rest of the terms and conditions, I would say that it's actually not quite legal mm-hmm. to retract an offer once someone tries to, you know, negotiate.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you verbally agreed but you haven't agreed on sort of other terms and conditions, then it possibly is legal. So do you see kind of what I mean by
yeah.
it being a bit of a grey area? This is what we call regressive bargaining. Mm. It's like, you know, you put something on the table and then someone says, oh, what about this? And then you take off everything that you're offering.
Mm.
It's a bad sign. It is against the law when you bargain with a union, so just so you know. So in collective bargaining, when an employer does this, we can take them to the employment authority.
Cool.
And I would say that, I mean, just genuinely, I don't think you'd want to work at this place.
Yeah, I mean, you might have dodged a bullet there, Texter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure having a job is one thing, but yeah, it sounds like maybe you might have saved yourself some drama further down the track. We've got one last question here. It's from someone who says, because of the lockdown, my friend was kept off work for 8 weeks. Then their work made them use their holiday leave to cover this time that they were required to stay home, even though the business got the wage subsidy. Is this legal? Lots of people wondering if things are legal this morning.
And good. We should be asking these questions. So, I guess the short answer is, if your friend was not being passed on the wage subsidy and they were forced to use their entitlements, that the answer is that's not legal.
Mm-hmm.
But I would check that the holiday pay wasn't being used to top up the wage subsidy to ensure that it was their normal pay, because some employers have been doing that. So they've been passing on the wage subsidy and then without talking to their workers, which, you know, I think is sort of the bare minimum, taking from their holiday pay to kind of make sure that it's their usual pay.
Mm.
So if that's the case, that's not illegal, but it really should have been an agreement, and I would raise it as an issue. Like, I would be pretty aggrieved if my workplace did that without my agreement. It's your entitlement, and they shouldn't just be doing anything without talking to you about it. You know, you might make a choice that you'd rather just get the wage subsidy at that point. You're at home, you're not spending so much on transport, et cetera, and you don't want to use your holiday pay.
Mm.
So, really bad practice, not necessarily elite. Well, you know, actually, potentially, your entitlement should be used with your consent and agreement. So, So I guess there's two things that could be happening. One is, like, blatantly really illegal, which is that they took the wage subsidy, pocketed it, and then used your holiday entitlement.
Mm.
That's illegal. And the other one is that they've tried to top up the wage subsidy with annual leave that they pay. And they should have done that with agreement. And without doing it, it's pretty shady.
Very shady. Well, thank you very much for that wise advice, Justine.
Thanks, Rachel.
It's always good to have you on the show.
Love to be here. See you next week.
We'll see you next week. Ka kite.
Yeah. Take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Thank you.